Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Villa, No Filler, a podcast all about Aston Villa, the world's greatest football team. Please follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, give us the 5-star reviews. It really helps us, you know, carry on doing what we love doing, which is recording this podcast, talking about the greatest football team in the world in Aston Villa, and also meeting fellow Villa fans. It's fantastic. Look, Aston Villa, we're back in the big time. We just played away in Amsterdam against the iconic, globally famous team, Ajax. Well, it was 0-0. I think what you would say is that the 0-0 scoreline probably doesn't reflect kind of the amazing atmosphere it was. And what I will say is that throughout the day, looking at Twitter, looking on my WhatsApps, in all the Villa groups, I mean, all my mates who are out there at the moment in Amsterdam, it looked absolutely amazing. Incredible experience, you know, something that we're going to get used to in the next few years, hopefully, under the guidance of Professor Unai, the man who's been there, done it, won the Europa League 4 times, Champions League semi-finals, a man who knows what the hell he's doing in Europe. I think that from the first moment of the game, that when I was watching it on TV, just seeing Villa in that stadium, I know Ajax aren't playing as well as they, you know, have done in the past. I know they're not in their greatest moment, but to see Villa in that stadium with that level of intensity from those fans, it back it in the European big time, it was special. It's been a very, very long time. I was there when we, twice in a row, when Rapid Vienna turned up and put us out in the knockout stages of the Europa League. And I was there the following year with that big old banner, the nightmare returned. I was there when we beat Ajax 2-1. I was there in the Intertoto Cup games of the early 2000s when we beat FC Zurich, I think, at home 2-0, I want to say. I was there when we lost to a French team, which one it was slips my mind. Inter in the 90s, I remember. Trabzonspor, Atletico Madrid with Stan Collymore's iconic goal. You know, all these amazing memories. And it is amazing to think after so long away from it that tonight we got to see that again from Aston Villa. So many young Aston Villa fans who've never seen it before getting to experience that for the first time. And this collective of players who have not, as a collective, you know, a lot of them are international, so they've played in big atmospheres like this. But as a collective, as an Aston Villa unit, they are not used to playing together in environments like this. You know, yes, we've played in the Conference League this season, but obviously this was different. This was the biggest game we've had so far. A knockout game, a two-legged knockout game. And I thought this was a mature European-style display from Unai Emery's Aston Villa. Now, the thing that surprised me the most seeing Unai Emery's Aston Villa since he joined us is just how expansive and proactive we have been as a football team. We are one of the best football teams to watch in world football. We play a scary high line. A lot of teams wouldn't dare play it. We do it and we pull it off with great aplomb, as we did tonight. And we all, going forward, our football is fantastic to watch. We are just a lovely, lovely, well-coached, top football team. Thank you, Unai Emery, for bringing that to Aston Villa. But that's not really fully what I expected when he joined us. You know, from what I've seen of Unai Emery in the past, when he used to watch La Liga all the time, I remember his team's been a little bit more pragmatic, right? Maybe that's adjusted in recent years at Villarreal. But, you know, when I've seen his teams in Europe as well, tonight, watching Aston Villa reminded me of watching Unai Emery's teams in Europe. In that, you know, you go away, you perhaps just suck up the atmosphere. You know, you don't lose your heads and get caught out. Because the thing is, if you go gung-ho into a game away from home in Europe and you give an early goal away, that can be very difficult to bounce back from. Though that atmosphere is difficult to cope with. Those players get, the energy levels are higher, and it can be difficult to deal with that. And you can get overrun. Instead, tonight, Aston Villa, I thought, whilst we weren't good going forward, whilst in possession we weren't great, defensively, I thought it was a very mature performance. How many chances did Ajax have tonight? The atmosphere would make you think they were all over us. They weren't. I thought we contained them actually very well. There was a danger at times of us being a little bit too passive rather than containing, but I thought on the whole, we did a very good job in not allowing us to fall into that, over that threshold. And I thought, first half, okay, going forward wasn't great, although there was, you know, chance for Diaby at the start. And I think that Luca Dean was clean through after a great ball from Pau Torres. And unfortunately, the referee didn't give it. More on the referee in a second. But I think that what you saw was a lot of the time Villa would actually have almost six at the back, you know, the back four. But then you'd have Diaby and Morgan Rodgers. Massive amount of work they did tonight. And I think Unai Emery is probably saying to them, what a brilliant defensive display you had, actually, because their two players were more used to going forward, being more proactive, and they were asked to do something that they're not necessarily massively comfortable with tonight. Constantly tracking back, constantly going back with, you know, Sosa, you know, Diaby always having to track Sosa, or, you know, Rodgers having to track out on the Villa left and support Luca Dean. So I thought they both did a really good job in that. And then Aston Villa were constantly catching Ajax offside with the high line. There wasn't really a clear chance that they got in the first half, other than that one occasion when Brian Brobbey got through. It was a bit of a handful, but I thought we dealt with him pretty well. And then second half again, I can only think of Ajax having one really big chance, which was when Sosa did manage to get forward. A good pullback. I thought Iroopenham should have got back. Iroopenham should have been sprinting back. He didn't. I think he just held his run a little too much. But came back to Taylor. And what a fantastic save from the world's best goalkeeper. I thought, you know, with that high line we were playing, I think that Martinez's positioning was really good as that sweeper keeper. He was always getting to the ball when he needed to. And when he needed to make a big save, he made it. On the ball, mostly he was very good, but were there one or two occasions where, you know, would somebody like Mikel Arteta look at it and go, that's not what I need. I want more of a ball-playing keeper and a David Raya, perhaps. All right, maybe you could say that, but personally, I thought Martinez, he is the world's best goalkeeper, and I think he showed it again tonight. I love him. I think defensively it was a very solid display. A very mature display, you know, bearing in mind you've got Morgan Rodgers and Timmy Robinham starting. Two players having getting thrown in right at the deep end, who don't have a great deal of experience at the very highest level, don't have any experience, to be honest, of an atmosphere like that, playing in Europe against an iconic team like that. And I thought Villa, you know, I think they did themselves credit. I think clearly the two of them still have a lot to learn. Give them a year. I'm very excited to see where they are in a year. I think Iroopenham at times, I think he made some really good interceptions at times. He made one or two good passes here and there. But I think on the ball, there were moments where he made the wrong turn. Just on the ball is where he's got to improve, isn't it? Morgan Rodgers, again, I thought he showed some real touches, real flashes. And he's a player I'm very excited to see grow. Same thing against Luton. One or two moments where he just thought, there's something there, isn't there? He's obviously not there yet. But there's clearly something that Monchi, the scouting department, and Unai Emery have all seen in him. And I think I saw it tonight. There's raw ingredients there. Give him a year. Let's see where he is. I'm excited to see where he goes. And fantastic experience for the two of them tonight. And I think that Unai Emery managed the game well. Like I say, a manager has won the Europa League four times. You've got two players in Diaby and Morgan Rodgers having to sprint and sprint and sprint, going back all the time, trying to make something happen further forward when they get that opportunity. And then at 60-minute mark, Unai Emery makes the change. He brings on McGinn. And it, you know, it's run out of my mind now who it was we brought on Rodgers. Leon Bailey, that's it. So Bailey and McGinn come on. Offer something different, and they have to do the same job, running back and forth all the time. So yes, I think it was well a good coaching display from Unai Emery in Europe. You know, don't let the game get away from you. Don't let them get the backs up, and you know that we have to go back to Villa Park and chase a game that they can just sit 11 behind the ball. Now they have to go for it as well. They can't just defend all game. Next week, they have to try and find a way through us. And, you know, that's something that I'm sure we'll find, you know, with the atmosphere next week. Villa Park will be very intense. I'm there. I can't wait to go. I was there when we beat them 2-1 last time with Martin Larsson and Gareth Barry's goals. I can't wait to see who's going to score for us next week. You know, I think with Ajax, full credit to them, they've not been good this season, really. Though they have improved from that awful early season form when it looked like the entire club was about to cave in. I think that, you know, this isn't a vintage Ajax side, but I think they were very intense. I thought their press was good. I think they had a youthful intensity. I think that Jordan Henderson offered something to them in the middle. I think he was a good linchpin for them. A player who's been there and done it, recently won the Champions League, you know, recently played in Champions League finals, recently won the Premier League, very mature England international, who Gareth Southgate looks like he's going to take him to the Euros, doesn't it? So, you know, he's got more to give to England as well. I thought tonight, I think him and Douglas Luiz was a good battle. I thought Douglas Luiz played well. But I think Jordan Henderson, I think for all them youthful Ajax players, it was good for them to have somebody like him just there as a linchpin with a bit of maturity, just to maybe give them a bit more guidance from the centre. But I think the two players that stood out for me were Kaplan and Atto at the back. Kaplan with a massive block on Leon Bailey at the end. You know, that could have been the goal for Villa in the 90th minute. I thought Atto, he looks a real player, doesn't he? They are going to get a lot of money for him in the future. So a good youthful display from Ajax. What a good pressing. But in the end, did they create many chances? I think the answer is no, they didn't. They had one big chance and that's all I can think of. Now, going forward with Villa, yeah, we could have been better. Couldn't really get Ollie into the game. A bit loose with our passing. I think that it just felt like every time we tried to play out, Ajax really had the better of us winning the ball back. We did create a couple of things and, you know, good ball in from Zaniolo at the end. If Watkins had just got there, might have been the winner. At the end, you know, we had a corner, free kick. We had set pieces that we didn't make the most of. And that's how you burgle them games in Europe. Sometimes that's what you got to do. And I think tonight we just didn't quite... We weren't quite productive from the set pieces like we have been, you know, generally this season. But I tell you what, though, I don't really have a go at referees on this channel, right? I tend to think it's a bit of a pointless endeavour. You know, referees, they get enough stick. I sort of am from thinking of, you know, if we're just going to constantly be at referees, then, and, you know, there are quite a lot of terrible refereeing displays, don't get me wrong. If we're going to be constantly at them, you're not going to attract good referees into the game, are you? You're going to be left with, because they're going to want to go and do something else. They're going to think, why bother with the hassle? So I think that as culturally, it's best to not be constantly at the referee. And Emery doesn't tend to do that. But tonight, you know, it reminded me of when you watch a World Cup or a Euros tournament, and there will always be one game where you think, what on earth was the referee doing? What the hell was that refereeing display? They throw out too many cards. Think back to the Netherlands versus Argentina in the quarterfinals of the World Cup, you know, last year, when Lionel Messi looked at, you know, the Dutch player after and said, "Give me that bobo," which means, what you're looking at, fool. You know, where Argentina had tons of players booked. The Netherlands had tons of players booked. It reminded me of that. It was an abject display from the referee. It impacted both teams. Both had players sent off, absurdly, in my view. And the problem is, when you keep giving out bookings all the time, Mike Dean used to be guilty of this sometimes in the Premier League. And Villa Wolves game, I remember a couple of years ago when we had Douglas Luiz sent off. When you keep giving out bookings, you leave players uncertain then of what sort of a tackle they can make. Zaniolo, you know, fairly backing into a defender, gets booked. You know, so then he's looking around, Watkins is looking around thinking, well, can I be physical with the defence or am I going to get sent off here? What's going to happen? You know, Matty Cash holding a player off in the second half, holding Brobbey off, fair challenge, booked. You know, Brian Brobbey jumps into Clément Longley, corner. Ezri Konsa brought down in the first half. I don't think he should have put his hand on the ball. I think that was quite immature from him. But at the same time, he was fouled. It was a foul to Villa. Booking for Konsa. Konsa fouled in the second half, going through on goal. Red card for Konsa. I mean, it just leaves players more wound up, more likely to make rash choices, and makes the game more chaotic, and makes players unsure about what they can do, and impacts what you can actually do as a player. Therefore, might have impacted Villa tonight. You know, I think Konsa is a big miss for next week. You know, I think Konsa probably would have played at right back next week, and he's not going to be able to do that now. You know, maybe Diego Carlos comes back in. I don't know, but Konsa is a miss, and it's one that we shouldn't have. It's absurd. It was a horrendous refereeing display, and one where, you know, if UEFA watched that tonight, he's not coming back to referee in Europe again this season. He can't. He can't, because it was really, really bad and impacted the game. You know, just poor, very, very poor. But that said, you know, aside from that, I thought defensively, it was an Unai Emery defensive, mature, pragmatic display in which we didn't let Ajax really have much of a sniff. And I think that going forward, I think Emery would obviously like to see an improvement. And next week, we're just going to have to show that improvement when we have our own home atmosphere. Things are a bit different, aren't they? I can't wait. It's going to be rocking. Villa Park's going to be rocking. Let me know what you thought of the game. Comment below. Send us emails. No Villa, no filler. @gmail.com. Tweet me. Let me know. Let me know what you thought. Frankie Maguire on Twitter. Villa No Filler on Twitter as well. Facebook, whatever. Send us messages, you know. Whatever, you know, I'm always happy to chat to anybody, you know. So it's a lonely old time sometimes, isn't it? Being a Villa podcaster, you're looking around, where is everybody? But look, what else was I going to say? I think Tottenham next. Pau Torres, apparently it wasn't a serious injury, came off at half time, and that turns out, I think, you know, it probably was Unai Emery throwing him into, you know, the melting pot, you know, big atmosphere, tough game. Give him 45 minutes. And hopefully, Villa have a bit of rhythm. We've played a lot of games. We've won a lot of games recently. We've got rhythm now going into Spurs, haven't we? And Spurs, they've not had a consistent run of games, have they? You know, Chelsea were in the League Cup final the other week, and the game, Spurs didn't play that week because they were supposed to play Chelsea. So they've had a two-week gap. And sometimes those gaps help you. Sometimes they give you, you know, give rest the legs. But sometimes you want to be able to build a bit of momentum. And Spurs haven't really been able to build that recently. And I think Villa might just have a bit of an advantage in that sense. So let's wait and see how it goes on Sunday. It's a massive game, isn't it? Massive. I think Emery coached it well tonight, gave the players the sort of minutes they needed and didn't overexert anybody, let them do what he knew they could do. And it's going to be a huge game on Sunday. It really is. And it could be a basketball game, 5-4, the Highline Derby, 4-4, 5-4, 3-3, 3-2. I think they'll score, but I think we'll score more. So I think we're going to win it. Let's do it. Come on, the mighty Villa. Up the Super Villa. But we're back in Europe. We're back in the big time. Let me know if you're up the mighty Villa.